Well, I desire your prayers tonight as I share a little thought with you. I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. Written on the board, hold the course. This morning we read out of the third chapter of Acts, and I'd like to return to the third chapter of Acts. We read this morning verses 1 through 9, and we read about Peter and John and the lame man, with focus on the lame man. We talked about how that the lame man was laid daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful. And when Peter and John came by, he looked on them hoping to receive alms, but Peter and John bid him to look up, to look at them. And Peter fastened his eyes on him, and he didn't give him silver and gold, but he gave him something much greater than that. He gave the man the answer to the need that he had in his body, no doubt in his heart. Have you noticed in the scriptures that when Jesus would heal people, he would say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee, rise up and walk"? He said that a lot of times. It seems like when the Lord touches someone, the virtue of Jesus goes through that person, and many times He forgives sins and He heals bodies. And then there were other times where He was not able to heal. He said He wasn't able to do much healing because of their unbelief. Well, I want to be of the number tonight that believes. We focus this morning on the lame man. This evening, I would like to speak a few words with focus on Peter and John. And I'd like to reread the first verse. We won't read the rest because we've already read that this morning. But the first verse said, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." Now, I want to read that one more time because maybe you were getting it in your Bible. Now, listen to the way that this is written. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." You think that there were any other things that Peter and John could have been attending to at the ninth hour? What was the ninth hour? Anyone know when the ninth hour was? It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Right in the very middle of the day. Right in the middle of the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. Is it easy to stop what you're doing and go to the temple to pray in the middle of the day? 3 o'clock in the day. What if we were to tell everybody, all right, we have a new item that we want to encourage everybody to do. Every day at 3 o'clock, everybody stop what they're doing and drive to the chapel because it's going to be the hour of prayer. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right in the middle of everything you're doing, let's gather in and let's lift up our hearts to the Lord. Did you think that'd be a very easy thing to do? I wonder how big a crowd we'd have. Well, as we know so well, we live in a time, we live in different times. I'm not saying that that's what we should do. But what I am trying to make the point of, that wasn't a small thing to do even back then. And today we are so consumed. We live in a busy time in the world that we live in today. Very, very busy. And if you find places in your life where it's not filled with something, it's almost like we get uncomfortable with downtime. We need to be doing something. And it may not be productive. But we find things to do, whether it's looking at our phone, driving somewhere, going somewhere, but we don't, it doesn't seem, there's too many people that are too uncomfortable with silence. I remember years ago we were looking to sell our home in Oregon. This was a long time ago, and we ended up not selling it at that time, decided to stay put. But I remember there was somebody had come into our house, and they might have been visiting, but they made the comment, "It's so quiet in here." Why? We didn't have just noise going all the time. And I've discovered that people in today's age get uncomfortable with just silence. Time to just meditate. Just lift your hearts up to the Lord. We're so geared to going and doing. And back in this day, at the ninth hour, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was the time of prayer. Time to set aside priority time for the Lord. And yet it seemed, and that's the reason I read this verse over again, because maybe it's just the way I'm reading it, but it seemed like to me that it wasn't even a question for Peter and John whether they were going to go pray or not. Because it said they went up into the temple at the hour of prayer because it was the ninth hour. It was time to pray. And so it wasn't a question as whether or not they were going to do it or not. They were going to do it because it was the time and hour of prayer. And the a challenge this evening to think about. And we preached a message a Sunday or two ago about Jesus withdrawing himself apart and praying. Do we have the same diligence? Do we carry with us the same commitment and practice in our lives where it's not even a question for us? Maybe not the hour of prayer, but do we carry the same commitment with us that it's not a question of whether or not we're going to put the Lord first in our life regardless of what's going on at the hour of the day? Are we so set in our minds and our hearts, "Lord, I'm going to serve you regardless. There isn't anything in life that's going to get me to deviate from it because that's just what I do. That's where my heart is. That's what I yearn for. That's what my whole purpose in life is." And we read some encouraging accounts in the scriptures. You remember what Daniel said when he was set at the king's table and he was taken into Babylon and they spread out before him the expansive offerings of the king's table. And it said that Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart, "I'm not going to defile myself with the meat from the king's table. Much is being offered to us today in this world." Much is being offered to us in the world today. The table that is spread by the world is expansive. And it's not just food. There's a lot of that too. There's food everywhere, but there's a whole lot more than food that is placed on our table, that is pushed onto our table, that we are almost trying to feel compelled to take it or else. That was what they faced. This was the king. It was not a small thing to tell the king, "No, I don't want to eat of your table." Their lives were at stake by saying that. And sometimes we can feel like maybe our physical lives aren't at stake, but our reputation is at stake, our career advancement is at stake, what people think of us is at stake, our livelihoods, our just all kinds of things, our satisfaction and fulfillment is at stake. If I don't partake of these things that are offered right in front of me that look so appealing, if I say no, then something is going to adversely affect me in my life. And there are so many things that can appeal to us. But Daniel and his friends, they purposed in their heart, we're not going to do this. This is not where we're going to go. And we also remember the three Hebrew children when they said to the king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, O king. And it didn't mean, O king, we're going to be disrespectful to you. We don't even really care about who you are. We're not careful about what we're doing here. That's not what it meant. It meant that we don't have to think about this anymore. We don't have to try to parse words. We already know what the answer is. This is the answer. We're not going to bow down to that. Our mind's made up. It doesn't matter. This is what we're going to do. We are going to serve our God. We're not going to bow down to your gods. We serve the one true God, and He's able to deliver us from your God. But if He doesn't, be it known unto you, this day, O king, we will not bow down. They had purposed in their hearts. That's just what they were going to do. Daniel, again, they say, well, anybody that prays to any other God, we're going to throw him to the lions. Daniel knew what he was going to do, had purposed in his heart. This was who he was. He prayed towards Jerusalem three times a day, and he opened up the door, the window, and he prayed to the God that he loved and he served, regardless. I'm challenged by that, aren't you? What is our response this evening to the temptations that we face in life? And this evening, I'm not speaking so much. There's a lot preached about, you know, different types of temptations that the flash and the glitter of the world that appeals to different parts of our eyes and our ears. But I'm even thinking tonight about the temptation to be discouraged. The temptation that's put on the table in front of us to back off from our service to God. Well, I don't know if this is really doing any good. I don't know if I'm really accomplishing anything in the work of the Lord. I think it looks pretty dark out there. It just looks like whatever I say and whatever I do, it's not helping anybody. There's other people that are better equipped to do this. I think I'll just back off. Or I feel discouraged. The fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. There's no law against however far you go with those things. There's no law against that. But we can be tempted in life. We can get tired. And we can become tempted to begin to accept the absence of joy, the absence of temperance, the absence of faith, the absence of long suffering. And we can begin to let those things come into our lives and have a place that the Lord is displeased with, where it puts us in a place where we're not able to do the work of the Lord as we should, but we can begin to listen to the voice of the enemy, the spirit of the world, our own flesh and our own humanity. And we can begin to back off of these things. And I want to challenge and encourage each one tonight. Be like Peter and John. It was the time of prayer. Think about what would have happened had they not gone to the temple that day. Have you thought about that? Well, what would have happened that day if Peter and John had not gone to the temple? What if they decided, well, look, we're disciples, we're in touch with the Lord. I mean, going to the temple, we see the Lord in person. It's not really necessary for us to do that, and we're kind of tired today. We've been doing the Lord's work over here. I think today at 3:00 in the afternoon, where we have all these other things to do, I think we're just going to maybe step back. What would have happened if they would have done that? Would the lame man have been healed? Probably not. That man would have still been there. The man would have still been there. He might have got some alms. Somebody might have come by and given him what it was that he was asking for. But the soul that needed a life change would have gone to bed that night still needing a life change, because Peter and John decided, I think we're just going to back off. There is much to be moved by and distracted by the things that are around us in the world in which we live, and there's many things that serve to discourage us. Have you ever felt irrelevant in the work of the Lord? Is it just me? Have you ever been tempted to feel like you're just like this, just one person in the midst of a sea of all times and people, and you're really kind of inadequate to do the real service of the Lord that needs to be done? And we can be tempted with those types of thoughts. We think, well, not me. I mean, it's always somebody else. And we can be tempted into withdrawing and feeling like we are not called to an important place to reach souls like brother or sister so-and-so. I think we probably all have felt that way. Don't give in to that. Don't give in to those types of temptations and become discouraged with that. When you feel that way and you're not sure what your place is, in one place Jesus exhorted them to continue in my word. Sometimes we say, well, I don't know what, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. Continue in this in His Word. People say, well, what should I do in this situation? Continue in the Word of the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Continue doing what you know is right to do. We can so overcomplicate the work of the Lord. We can so overcomplicate and try to make it a mystery what it is that the God wants us to do on a daily basis. We can withdraw in a corner of our house and not go out the front door, and I'm talking figuratively, in the work of the Lord, because we're waiting for the big, grand vision of exactly what special place God has for me, and I just haven't got a hold of it yet. And in the meantime, days pass and weeks pass and months pass and years pass. And in the meantime, the Lord is just simply saying, continue in my word. Just do what you know is right. The light that you have, do that. The little bit of service that you know to do, just continue in my word. And He will take that we do for Him. And it's up to Him to expand it. It's up to Him to take the loaves and the fishes and to multiply it. And He'll do that. What His encouragement to us is, don't stop continuing doing right and good. Don't be discouraged with doing the right things in the midst of all of the reasons that abound around us for backing off. All of the reasons that we allow to rent space in our mind of why it's probably a good time to back off of whatever it is that I'm doing that is a good and a right thing to do. Be encouraged with that. Jesus says, continue on. And this is the message tonight, simply put, that I want to leave with you. Hold the course. It's your ninth hour. It's your ninth hour. Did you know that the ninth hour was also the hour that Jesus was on the cross? At the ninth hour, Jesus was on the cross and gave His life for us. And when He gave His life for us at the ninth hour, the Holy Spirit of God that dwelt in the holiest of holies in the temple was let loose out of a man-made structure. And it said that the veil in the temple was rent, and the Spirit of the Lord came out of the holiest of holies and went out into the world looking for those that were willing to have the Spirit come abide in their hearts, no longer in a temple made with hands, but the Lord came out of that temple, His Spirit did, when Jesus Christ died on the cross and sought souls that were willing to be filled with His Holy Spirit. That happened at the ninth hour too. And now, folks, it's our ninth hour. Now it's our turn. We're only here for a short period of time. The earth has been here for however many thousand years, and we weren't there at the beginning. We haven't been around most of the time that the earth has been here. But today, we are alive. Today, God has given you and me breath. And it is our ninth hour to do the will of the Lord. It is our turn. It's your turn. And the Lord wants us to hold course tonight and tomorrow and for the life that He gives us. He wants us to be encouraged that we would go forth consistently as Peter and John did. They went to the temple at the hour of prayer because it was the ninth hour. It was time to go to prayer. So there was no question to them on whether or not they were going to go. Let it not be a question for us tonight on whether or not we will be willing and obedient to do the will of the Lord, because it's our ninth hour. When the Lord comes back for us, what will He have found us doing at our ninth hour? I want to be found faithful, don't you? There are many souls in the world today, as mentioned this morning, that are lame, that are hurting, that are in need of you. They're in need of you. And the Lord has put you in their path that you might be faithful at your ninth hour, as Peter and John were faithful to do the work of the Lord. And as they were going to the hour of prayer, the Lord put someone in their path. And because they were faithful at that ninth hour, it immeasurably changed the life of someone else. And I believe that there are lives that every single person here tonight that you will cross. And if you are willing to be faithful in the service of the Lord in your ninth hour, that you too can immeasurably change the course of someone's life that is in trouble. Let's be encouraged with that tonight. You are important. You're needed. The Lord wants you in His service. It is our ninth hour. Let's be faithful to the Lord. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.